Pastor Guy Harden.
Good morning. It is good to see your smiling faces today, and we thank the Lord for you, and we just pray that you would mind the Lord. You know, I was thinking that since there was no singing, I thought, well, I guess it's a good thing the Lord didn't send one of the messages that says, you know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and we should spend time praising and worshiping and singing out his glories, because that didn't happen a whole lot today, did it? But the Lord hadn't sent that, but I guess I gave you a little tidbit anyway, didn't I? But it is good to be in the Lord's house, and I hope that you enjoy this time of year. I hope that you haven't got tired of it. You know, a lot of people, even by this time of year, they are exhausted of Christmas. And I guess I could put it to you just as straight and as I could is that's your own fault. As if you've let it become something in your life where it's just about going and getting and preparing and getting this and getting that and making everybody happy. And boy, don't let it drag you down. Christmas shouldn't drag you down, should it? That should uplift us more than anything should uplift us. And that should give us an encouragement to tell people what Christmas is about, the reason and the purpose and the point of it, and the hope that gives to give to us all, especially to a world that is seeking things, desiring things, and wanting things, and it's also just such an opportunity to tell people what it is what you think about Christmas. I tell you, there's a world of people out there that are right now, guess what? They're going around, they're telling people exactly what Christmas is to them. And it's a lot of them are tearing it down. They're trying to put it down. They're trying to snuff it out. They're trying to tell you not to believe in it, not to put up with it, and that it has nothing to do with Jesus or anything. It's just a little season that America has a day that they've set aside, you know, to just get a few days off from work and just have time for family and things. And you know, but they forget the most important thing. It's about the birth of the one that gave the world hope, my friend. Gave the world hope. And today we have hope because of Jesus and because of his willingness to come into this old sinful world when he didn't have to. He didn't have to, but he did. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves you as an individual. He loves you as who that you are, the imperfections that you are. He loves you. And he's striving with you, and he's trying to get us to see what this life is about. It's not about the hustle and the bustle. It's about the present that was given. The present that was given. And we all know what that is, don't we? It was a Savior that came to this world. And when nobody else could have came, nobody else could have done this. Jesus said, I'll go. And I'll do what is necessary, my Father, to pave a way for those that we love, those that we created, those that have went astray. And we are all in that same category, aren't we? We have all went astray. We have all come up short of the glory of God. But we have all, some of us, have found our way back. Now, I don't know the hearts of everybody in this church. You know, we always like to think that we know exactly where everybody's at, and sometimes we, you know, maybe we're right. But you know, the only one that knows right exactly where everybody's at is God. He's the only one that knows where our heart is and what our life is and what our service is to him. He's the only one that truly knows exactly what needs to be known concerning salvation and concerning our time in judgment. I know a lot of us likes to be judges at times. You know, we can say no, we don't, all we want to, but sometimes we are. We're judgmental people sometimes, and we sometimes place judgment where it's not for us to do. But we're going to read a little bit of scripture here in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. And a time here where same time that we are in today, really, that people are looking for answers, and they're looking for hope, and they're They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking and searching for what they need in their life. And some people are finding it in many different things in their life. Some find it in their work. Some find it in their job. Some find it in the pleasures of sin and in the fleshly lusts of the body. Some find it in the pride of life. And some find it in the monetary value that they hold so highly in life. And a lot of people are finding what brings them satisfaction, what brings them their hope in their life, and what brings them a greater sense of enjoyment and meaning and purpose in their life. But you know, there's something so much more valuable out that is to be sought after, so much more greater to look unto if people would just seek out the right thing and seek out what is necessary. There's surely the Lord has made it available to us all that we could look at and we could see as many resources, especially in this day and time where God has given so many resources to mankind, especially here of us in America. Now, I know you may go to some third world country, and it's going to be relied upon some man that's going to be willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me. And they're going to have to be sent over to another land and given a great calling to go and to tell those people that don't have the resources that we have about a man named Jesus and about one that can save their soul if they will heed to him and get out of this idolatry and get out of these evil and wicked things in life. But we here in America, we have been given such a great honor and privilege and have been given such resources and so many things in our life that point us into the right direction. Now, granted, you know, with coming great and people that's got great abilities and we've got wonderful ways of being pointed in the right direction, there's also those that are out there that are doing all that they can to defeat the right direction, trying to help us to get off course, or trying to tell us that we're wrong, or maybe even tell us at times that we're crazy. You know, it's good, you know, sometimes that have you ever been called, you know. And I tell you, if you get in a lot of conversations, if you get in a few where religion is brought up, and if you really are taking a good stance for your Savior and you really speak up well for Him, you know, there's some things that you might be called at times. You may be called a Jesus freak. You may be called somebody that is a fanatic. That may be something, you know. And, you know, whenever you think of those things, you know, a lot of people would look at you maybe a little bit negatively. But I got something to let you know that maybe the world may look at you a little funny. But, you know, I got a feeling that you've got a Heavenly Father that is staring down upon you. And that whenever you stand proudly, whenever you stand tall, and you ever say that I don't care what you call me. I'm honored and I'm privileged to be called one of those things. You know, we need to be fanatical for the Lord. We truly do. We need to be fanatical to the point where whenever the Lord says, I'm going to send you here and I'm going to open up this door for you, that we're going to be willing to walk through it, that we're going to be willing to be what it is that God has called us to be. And how are we going to do that? Have you ever been out on a nice hot summer day and maybe you've played basketball or some of you that has been hunting or some of you that's just been on a walk, or some of you that's got the potential or out there running in the heat, and you get real, real thirsty, and you just really just about to die. What's the thing you want more than anything? You want a nice cold drink, don't you? You want something that's going to revive you, something that's going to be refreshing to you. You know, it's the same thing, my friend, in our salvation. You know, we have to work to the point where we're desiring something from the Lord, that we're desiring a refreshing from Him, where that we can have a sip of something that is going to revive us and help us and bring us to the point where we are pleased with ourselves and also that the Lord is pleased with us. You know, Isaiah here is speaking about in this chapter about people that are willing to get to that point, to see that there's something more valuable and greater out there, and that if you want to be satisfied in your life, it may be right now, are you satisfied with your life to the point where with your relationship with Jesus, with Him, or do you even know of Him? I mean, you know, hey, I've sat out there many years of my life, and I've professed,
And I knew deep within inside of my heart that I was not where I needed to be at with the Lord. I knew that I wasn't serving Him in the capacity in which that I knew that I should have been. And I knew that, that things was not all well with me in the Lord. And I knew that, but I still sat there and I still put up a front at times. Why? And it didn't do me any good. It didn't serve me any purpose. But, you know, maybe it had appeased some people that were around me. Maybe it pleased mom and dad a little bit, or maybe it pleased grandma and grandpa, or maybe the pastor thought a little bit more of me. But you know what? All those things don't matter. It doesn't matter in the least bit. All that matters, my friend, is your relationship with Jesus. And here in this chapter, it helps us to see that, you know, we spend so much time on so many things of this world, and we get to the point where we are exhausted at times when we spend all of our time upon the things of the world. A lot of us have a problem, and that's called not being able to say no. And you know, I guess that's good and that's bad. It's good that you're willing to work and you're willing to labor and you're willing to help. You're willing to go and do as much as you can. But at the same time, there's come times where you have to say, no, that I don't have time for this, and that I've got to keep my priorities in line, that I've got to remember that I've got I don't want to say an obligation, because that almost seems like we're forced to do something. But you've got a desire in your heart that you want to do something that is greater in this world than just pleasing self, than just pleasing a few people around us, that we got a higher calling in this world to please Him and to glorify Him. And if we don't acknowledge and see that now more than any time of the year, then our eyes and are not focusing upon the right picture. It's not seeing what it is that we need to see. We need to see Christ in our life. And we need to see Christ that we would portray out there. And we need to show people the truth about Him, that it's not about what you do. It's not about what you do. But it's about what you've done. About what you've let go of. Here in that 55th chapter, we're going to read a little bit here, and we're going to skip to another place. So just remain seated if that's fine with you. But we're going to read here what it says a little bit about as far as reaching and attaining what it is that is truly needful in life. But what is really and truly the most important thing in life, and a lot of times people think that you've got to work for it, or you've got to save for it, you've got to purchase it. But this is what the man of God right here says. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now, first you may ask the question, okay, he's telling me to come and buy something, but he's telling me that I can't come and purchase it with money. Now, we don't really, in the natural sense, we don't understand that, because everything has a monetary value in the world that we're living in. You don't ever go someplace and very few times do you ever go and receive something for nothing. Not in the world that we live in. Everything costs. Everything has a price to it. We always have to save a little bit, or we have to borrow a little bit, and you know, even sometimes that can get us in trouble. But we always seem like there's always a price for everything. But here, Isaiah is telling us, you know, I have got something. That's where our witness can go to. That's where we can say, you know, if you're lacking in your life and if you need something greater in your life, guess what? I've got something for you. I've got something that I can tell you about. I got something that I can show you. And you know what? You know what? It's not going to cost you a dime. It's not going to cost you a dime. Well, we already know that, preacher. We know that. Well, you know what? A lot of them out there, they don't know that. They don't know that. Even in the America that we live in the great resources that we have, a lot of people don't know that. He goes on, he says, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. A nation that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Now we're going to turn over here just a few chapters over to the 59th chapter of Isaiah and just read the first couple of verses of that chapter. It says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, like I said, I don't know the condition of people's soul in the house tonight. That's between you and God. And that's, I don't want to say that's none of my concern, because why would we do what we do if it wasn't a concern for us? But I want us to see here what the man of God here is trying to get us to see, that there is something greater out there in this world than the things that we see, the things that we see with the monetary eye, with things that we can possess with our hands and things that we can possess with our wallets and things that we can have that's been handed down to us and things that we can have from this world. But we have to realize that there's something greater in this world. And some of us have sought it, some of us have found it, and some of us have clove to it. But, you know, there's also times in our life that if we're not careful, that we can get estranged from it, that we can forget about it. And unfortunately, a lot of times this time of year can do one of two things for us. We can either draw closer to the Lord, and we can see the great message that there is in this time of year to be given out, a great message in our life to draw closer to the Lord, to remember what it was that he did for us, and to be given by that, to be given water for that, to be given a refreshing for that. Or sometimes we can go out and we can be, unfortunately, on the other side of that spectrum. We can get to the point where we are exhausted and where that we are worn out and that we are not able to enjoy this time of year, that we see it as just almost sometimes as a burden in our life. If you haven't seen that, my friend, then we're not looking very well. I mean, look at what a lot of the people are probably doing today. They're probably not in a church someplace. Where are they at? They're in the stores today. They're out there shopping today. They're not remembering the reason for this season. They're out there trying to supply something that is not really all that necessary for this season. They're out there trying to receive something that they're not going to really find any great gratification from. They're not going to receive something that's going to be fulfilling in their own life to the point where that they will be able to spread the truth. They're going to be willing and only willing to seek gratification in the things of this world. You know, we have an opportunity in our life. And just as the man of God says here, seek ye the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while that he is near. There's times in our life when the Lord comes to us and that we draw closer to him. But, you know, there's also times, my friend, and I don't know where you're at, and if you're lost today, and if you are estranged from God, and if you're just separated from him because of what the Bible says over in chapter 59, because we are separated from him because of our iniquities. I mean, that's what happened to Israel so many times, that they were separated from God because of their iniquities, because that they thought about the things of the world were so much greater and so much more important than what they did the things of God were in their life. And if we're not careful, we can get blinded to that. We can get blinded to the point, even at this time of year, whenever it seems and it should be so much more relevant of what it is that we should be undertaking and the great message that we have right before us, especially at this time of year, to be able to be given out into a world. You know, we do it in so many different ways in our life. I mean, we've got great resources here. We've got times where we can have Christmas plays and we can have Christmas dinners and we can invite friends and we can invite each other and have a good time in the Lord. And that's wonderful. And I believe that's part of it. I think that's great things that we can gain strength from and that we can reach out into the community. We can reach out into people, that we can ask them to come in and that they can hear something, that they can see a spark, that there is something greater out there than what it is about the things of the world. That it's about a relationship with the man named Jesus. That is what they need to know more than anything. I mean, what's the purpose of knowing about Christmas the purpose of knowing about Jesus coming into the world if they don't know what his reason was. You know, a lot of people believe in Jesus. A lot of different religions and different things believe that there was a Jesus. They believe he was a good prophet. They believe that he was a good man. They believe that he was a good teacher. But you see, my friends, the Bible tells us that if we don't believe that he is the Son of God, that he came in the likely flesh, that he was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, if we don't believe that, then my friends, we don't know anything. That we'll never find peace and joy and happiness. We won't find forgiveness in our life if we don't acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus came and gave his life for us, that he died. If we don't acknowledge that, I mean, look at here so many times where the promise was given, the prophecy was given about one that would come and that would give his life. And that it wasn't just unto the Jews, that it was going to be unto the Gentiles. That's what gave us hope, my friends. That's what gave us hope. That's when he broke down that middle wall partition and gave us an access directly to God. You know, I used to work with some different people in some different denominations before. And they would talk about how, that I'm not going to mention, but you already know whenever I say this, but whenever they would go to their services, and they would go behind their little veil and they would talk to a different man. They would give him penance and they would give them things to go out and to do for forgiveness of sins. To ask, tell them to go do a few of these things and he would bear their sins before God and that they would be forgiven. My friend, you know what I told him? I said, I don't have to do that. I don't have to go to some priest someplace. I've got a high priest and he's in heaven, my friend. His name is Jesus. He came to this world and he died for this world and he went back to be with God and he is the one that is making intercession for each and every one of us. He is the one that we look into. He is the one that we ask of things and he is the one that we are living our life unto. But are we? Are we? Do we see this time of year as something that is wonderful and that is great and that we need to go out and tell people, you know what Jesus did for you? You know what he did for you? Are you seeking something in your life? Are you tired? Are you exhausted? Are you wore out from this world? Well, I tell you, and anymore, it's hard to believe that people's not exhausted and wore out from this world. How that it... If not only physically, but mentally. My goodness, so many things that are combating people today with all of the wars and rumors of wars and ragings of things that are going on in our country and going on in our world. How in the world that doesn't take a place in our life to the point where it is just mentally exhausting in our life to think about what could happen. Think about what is very good and well possible that could happen in the near future. What is happening right here and right now that guess what? That we don't know about. You know, after all, you know what we know? We know about exactly what as much as what they want us to know. That's all that we do know. So you can almost imagine that, guess what? It's probably a little bit greater than what it is that we already have knowledge of. And I'll tell you, if that don't give you something to think about. But this time of year right now, my friend, is a time where hope can come into the world. All over again. Every day there's a message. Do you know that? Every single day there's a message. And this one right here he is saying, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. You know, we're going to have to sometimes look for him. He's out seeking for us. He's out calling for us. He's calling all those. I believe every day people are brought into the kingdom of God. I believe that over this world. I believe the Bible kind of bears that through that, you know, every day, those that need to be and shall be added into to the kingdom will be. Those that he calls, some will answer, some will not answer. Even some may be here today. Some are going to make a call to answer unto him, and some that he may be saying, hey, you need to remove this from your life, or you need to step up a little closer, or this time of life can be more meaning to you if you allow to remove a few things out of your life and make this a priority. But there's choices there, isn't there? We've got a choice to either do that or we've got a choice to remain in the same capacity that we're in and remain in the same spirit that we're in and to remain sometimes even negative in life because we don't always like everything that's going on around us. My friend, it's all up to us. A lot of it is in our own perception on what it is that we want to achieve and what we want to have and what we want to feel in our life. If we want to have joy in our life, guess what? If you're a Christian today, you should have joy in your life. But if you don't have joy in your life, you know why you don't have joy? It's because you've let so many other things of the world get in the way of your joy. The joy is there. If you're a Christian today, you should have joy in your life. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm not saying that you're not going to have issues and problems, but you know, even through those times of hardness, there's still such a peace. There's a calmness. I remember when my father passed away, and I tell you, it's hard to explain. I mean, it was one of the most devastating things that I've ever went through in my life. But you know, at the same time that I would mourn his death, there was something that brought a peace to me. There was something that brought a joy and a happiness for him and for myself also, because I knew that there was one that was there with me and that he was giving me hope. He was giving me assurance. He was giving me peace and joy and rest to know that there's something greater than beyond this place, something greater than here. And I love it here, but you know what? I'm ready to go to a place that is so much greater than here. I'm ready to go to a place where my Savior said that if you'll give up your life for me, and if you'll live your life for me, that you don't have to remain here, that there's a greater place where I'm going to go, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If you'll live for me, and if you'll die for me someday, if you'll be faithful unto the end, you can come there and be with me also. You know, isn't that the hope of Christmas right there? I know it's about the birth of Jesus coming into the world, but if he had never came into the world, what hope would we have in the world? There would be no hope for this world. If God didn't love us so much, guess what? He would have destroyed us way back so many years ago whenever he repented that he even made man. But he loves us. He loves us so much. We sometimes get so caught up, we get so lost into the things and the issues that surround us that we forget to get lost and to get caught up into the joy of our salvation. Wouldn't that be refreshing at times to do rather than the other? Wouldn't it be greater to get caught up into the joy and the peace and the happiness of the Lord, rather than get caught up in the conflictions and the tiredness and the wore out of the situations in our life? That's part of life, but you know what? There's a rest also for those that are saved today, on this world, on this place. And isn't it nice that if we will seek it out, if we would be willing to drop a few things and seek him out, seek you the Lord while he is near. He's as near as you want him to be in your life. And he's as far away as you want him to be also. You can feel him and his presence in your life, and you can feel and be a spiritual witness and a holy living person for God if you choose to, if you want to. Or we can allow the daggers of life to come in and to pierce us at times. We can allow those to come in and take our mind and our track away from things. See, I want us to see here, that's what the cry out here is for. That's what the cry is for. To let us know that there's something greater. The first word is more or less, please, listen to what I've got to say. Stop everything else that you're doing. You know, that's just a preacher's, I don't want to say wish, but that is a preacher's prayer right there. And so many others' prayers that when people come into the synagogue, whenever they come into the worship place, that people would leave the things of the world out in the world and come here and have one mind and one accord. That's why we try to tell you so many times on the day of Pentecost that these people had different concerns in their life. They had issues in their life. They had family. Hey, who ain't got problems with family? We all got problems with family. But they pushed those things away. Bible said that they were there in one mind and one accord. One mind and one accord. Because they pushed the other things away. Their thought process was all about being there because Jesus, for one thing, told them, hey, this is where you need to come to. This is where I'm going to reveal some things to you. This is where you need to come together. And you know what you need to think about? You need to think about nothing else but being with your brothers and sisters, being in one mind and one accord, waiting and praying to God, and because I'm going to reveal something to you today. And boy, I tell you, he did, didn't he? He did. He gave them something that they had no idea that they could even possibly experience. And you know what? He's got something for each and every one of us. If we are willing to come into his house, or if we're willing to get into our prayer closet and shut the door and try our very best. I know that's even hard to do, to get into the prayer closet, to remove all the things of the world, to get it out of the way. And just to go in there to praise God for just a few minutes and glorify his name and to say, Lord, here I am. Let me be a little bit closer to you today. Let me draw nigh to you and quote scripture to God. Let him know that you know the word. Let him know that you know that he will be there, that if you call upon him. He says, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Let him know that. Say, God, I'm here. I'm doing all that I can to draw close to you. And I just want to feel a touch from you. I want to be drawn closer to you. And I want you drawing closer to me. If that is what you want, if you want a gift today, if you want something special today from God, guess what? All you got to do is draw a little bit closer to him. And you know what? You're going to have an experience. You're going to be able to feel that presence of God. How long has it been since we've been in that prayer closet? How long has it been since we stayed there long enough to where that we actually felt the presence of God in our life? That we actually felt the caressing of our soul and knowing that we got a hold of God in heaven? You want to talk about some refreshing? You want to talk about being a thirst satisfied? That will take care of you, my friend. And you talk about joy. That's where you're going to find your joy. That's where you're going to find your peace at. That's where your happiness is going to come from. It's not going to come from the things of this world. It's going to be temporary out here. Family will bring you joy. That's even temporary, because pretty soon they may do something to bring a little horror in your life. They may do something that's going to bring a little discomfort in your life. But you know what? If you'll stay true to God, and if you will seek after him, and if you'll draw close to him, all that joy and that peace that'll be there for you in your life. If you'll just look to him. Man, we're just so busy. We're so busy. We just don't have time for the prayer closet anymore. We don't have time to get to that point where we're willing to stay there. And we'll even tell God, God, I'm staying right here until I get a touch from you, until I know that I've touched heaven's portals, until I know that you've come and that you've caressed my soul. Lord, I know I usually just give you a few seconds in the morning here and there to thank you for getting me through the night, and then that's about it. But here, I'm staying here today until you come up on the scene, until I know that you're here, until I feel your presence. Oh, I tell you, that's where we're going to be happy at. That's where we're going to find the joy of our salvation at. It's not in this thing. It's not in this world. It's in a relationship. What is a relationship? What is the definition of a relationship to you today? When you think about your relationship, when you think about your love to your God today, do you think of it as a relationship? To the point where you interchange thoughts and ideas. You interchange a love and a compassion for one another. And you feel his presence in your life. Oh, I tell you, you want to find some happiness. Especially this time of year. Well, I tell you, we need to know the joy. We need to seek the Lord. Well, he may be found. And he's saying, I'm right here. I haven't went nowhere. He tells us in the Word that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's not going to change. He's letting us know, I'm never changing, my friend. I'm never changing. If anything's changed, it's you. If anyone's done any moving away from me, I haven't left you. You've moved. You've went somewhere. Something else got in between us. I tell you, if in our relationships here on this world, on this earth, even with each other, think about it, that the days that you were in high school. Think about that and the friends that you had in high school and the great relationships maybe that you had with them. But if you've been out of high school as long as I have, been 30 years or more, you know what? I don't have a whole lot of them relationships anymore. It's because I've moved on in life. I've got into a different part of my life. It's because that's just how life is. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way with Jesus. He is right there with us all the time. And He doesn't leave us. We either move on to other relationships or we move on to other things. We allow things to get between us. We allow time sometimes to affect us. You know what the sad part is? We sometimes even allow maturity. You wouldn't think, now how in the world could that happen? How could we allow maturity to be a problem in our life that we would become more distant from the Lord? You know, just like in all things sometimes, as we do, sometimes we get a little complacent. Sometimes we get a little bit used to. Sometimes we don't appreciate things sometimes like that we should. Am I going to tell you that I feel the same today as what I did on the day that I got saved? You know, it's changed a little bit. It has. It's changed a little bit. Now, I'm not saying that that's altogether wrong, because that's just part of life. That's just part of, but you know, if I have grown estranged from the Lord, if I don't feel His presence in my life, if whenever I'm praying and I'm asking God for things and asking Him for help, if I don't, boy, I've prayed so many prayers in my life where it felt like they were just bouncing off the walls. Felt like they were just bouncing off the ceiling. They wouldn't get no higher than anything. Or even at times, you know, you get in a rush and you're just rushing here and rushing there and you'd almost, or even a prayer over a meal, you'll just go through the ritual. And you'll go through what is normal. You'll go through what is expected of me. And without considering and remembering the purpose of prayer and the power that there is in that, if we use it for its capacity. Are we thirsty today? Are we thirsty? Are we willing to do what Isaiah says here? Stop and think about it. Consider it. Desire something greater. And if you're in that place of, well, you know, preacher, nobody else needs to know it, and you're right, nobody else needs to know it. But, you know, maybe I haven't really been in that prayer closet to the point in quite some time where I really got a hold of God, where I really felt His presence in my life. And I knew that there was no doubt that I knew that God heard my cry. Because He'll give you He hears our cry, He hears our prayer, but I tell you, there's those great occasions when we get to where that we need to be, where we're willing to draw closer to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. Isn't that what brings the joy to your life, is the presence of the Lord? Isn't it here in services at times when we have it, when we're the happiest as a Christian is whenever we're in services and people are willing, they're willing to forget everything else. And I know that this is few and far between. You know why? Because most of the time we're not willing to forget everything else. We got so many other things in our mind. We got so many other things that are more important. We got so many other issues that put up these great big old walls between us that we're not willing to put them down and let go of them and leave them out there for a little while and come in here and worship God as He should be, and we should worship Him. But every once in a while, in spite of us, God comes into our services and somebody will do something and then somebody else will do what they need to do. And everything will start clicking just as it is. And you know what? Before you know it, there's somebody crying. There's somebody singing a song. Somebody else is doing what God is directing them to do. And you know what? All of a sudden, there just comes this peace and this freedom comes into the congregation where, you know what? We kind of let down the bars a little bit. We don't worry about anything anymore. And then we start getting a little bit happy, don't we? We start getting a little bit joyful. We stop worrying about what everything else is. We stop worrying about what time the clock is. We stop worrying about anything else. You know why? Because God is in our place. Because His presence is here. And we're feeling the joy and the power of God. And we don't care about nothing else. If we would be willing to seek Him out, that's what it's going to take, my friend. That's what it's going to take. We could say that in so many other things if we want to, but that's what it's going to take. You know what I read over there? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. He hears and He can save, but there is an issue that whenever He does not, and what is that issue? But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. That's just as plain, as simple as it can be. When we get our idols out of the way, whatever that it is that we've put in the way, that we have put between us and God, when we get those things out of the way and we put Him first in our life and we seek after Him while He is near, while He is here and saying, hey, I'm here. I haven't went nowhere. If you want me, I'm right here. Just come to me. Just take a moment and take a movement. Take a time and draw a little closer to me and I'll come running after you. I'll bless you in spite of you. Has the Lord ever done that to you? Boy, He has me. I've sat in here before, and I tell you, I've had the worst week ever. I've sat in here, and the Lord come by here and just bless my heart and start crying and start feeling His presence. And I'm thinking, I don't deserve this, but thank you, Lord, anyway. You know what? I don't deserve it. None deserve anything, but He's still here, and He's saying, oh, if we're going to ever think about it at any time, let's think about it now whenever He gave all for us. Let's think a little bit more about giving a present back to Him, and that's everything about us. He gave everything about Him. He gave everything that He could give, everything. There was nothing more, nothing left. There's nothing else that needs to be done and accomplished for us. He was all done. But you know what? How is it on our side? Have we given all? Have we done all? Or are there some things? Are there things blinding us? Are there shadows that are keeping us? Are there mixed emotions that are hindering us? Are there walls that we've put up that is in replace of our joy? Well, I tell you, it's up to us, isn't it? It's up to us. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. I tell you, that's a cry for us. We have to react, don't we? We have to act. If we want these things, we're the ones that have to act. We have to seek Him. He's there. He hasn't went nowhere. But if you want a stronger and a closer relationship with Him, if you want the joy and the peace of your salvation that we read so much about and that we can have, if we'll think back and remember what it was like, what we want it to be like, that's up to us. Song leader, come give us a song. Lord knows each and every one of us, doesn't He? Boy, isn't that good? I'm so glad that He knows me, that He knows you, that we don't have to stand in judgment of nobody else, that we have to just say, "Is here it is. You take it. You do with it as you want to do with it. It's your choice. Lord's not going to make you do anything with it. But you have a choice to do something with it or about it. All I can say is choose wisely. And I have to say, guess what? I got to stand in the mirror and I got to say, choose wisely. I got to look right back at myself. It's up to me too, my friend. It's up to us all. We're none any better than the other. We all have to stand for ourselves. Would you stand with us today, please?